Let's do it again. Turn then to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Back in the Sermon on the Mount. We'll begin reading at verse 17. So Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Amen. We'll end our reading there for this morning. And with this word open, let us again ask God's help and blessing as we come to look at it here in this text. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, again we would ask Thee to look upon us in mercy. Lord, to give us the help of Thy good Spirit. He is that one that will lead us into all truth. He is the one that is the best expounder of His own Word. We pray then that Thou give us understanding, give us wisdom, Lord, give us that teachable heart, that we might hear what Christ is saying to us here. We ask in Jesus' name, Amen. I want us to think a little bit ahead, beyond the Sermon on the Mount, first here this morning, to the time when Jesus was on a different mountain. Went up to a high mountain, it says, and was transfigured before three of the apostles, Peter, James, and John. He was showing a little bit of His glory. His face was shining, it says, like the sun. You can imagine the brightness, hardly being able to look at the Savior's face. And His clothes, it says, were as white as the light. He was this great shining one in their eyes of these apostles. But also two other men appeared. Men that had been dead for over 1,000 years. Moses and Elijah. And these two other men were talking with Christ. They were fellowshipping. Don't know what they were speaking of. But Moses, you know, is the great lawgiver. He is the one that God gave the 5 books of Moses, as they're called, to. The Pentateuch, the Torah, the law. Elijah is one of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Both of these men really represent some of the greatest of the Old Testament times. And these were the ones speaking, talking with Jesus. Well, as Peter and James and John saw this sight, this great shining Savior, and these other men whom they had read about, of course, and greatly and rightly so respected out of the Old Testament, they didn't know what to do. Peter, very unadvisedly, said, it's good for us to be here. Now, that is true. It's good for us to be here. But the unadvisedly part is what he went on to say. Let us build 3 tabernacles, or 3 tents, 3 dwellings. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. By saying that, Peter, of course, not knowing what he said, was scared to death in the presence of such glory of Christ. He put Jesus and Moses and Elijah on the same plane. Let's build a separate one for each one of you. You all have the same type of dwelling. What does God the Father say in response to that? He says a cloud covered them. And a voice from heaven said what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And when the apostles heard that and they looked around, what did they see? It says they saw Jesus only. In other words, God the Father saying, no, these other two men and what they represent, they're not the same as my Son. They're under Him. They're fulfilled in Him. They prophesied and looked toward Him. But they're not on His footing. Remember, Hebrews tells us that Moses, as great as he was a servant in the house. The picture, you know, being of a house. And you have servants and you have children there. Moses is a mere servant. But Jesus is said to be what? A son over the house. He rules over this house, this church, the people of God. Moses was a servant in that house. God is saying here, hear ye Him. As we said, Moses prophesied of this one being the prophet in Deuteronomy that we must give attention to. Moses said, when this man comes, listen to him. He is going to expound everything fully. If you don't listen to him, you will be judged. So this is the one. And so it is here in our verses that we just read, especially verses 21 and 22, I want to focus on. Let's just read them again together. Verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You see how Christ is saying here, but I say unto you, but I say unto you. This is the beginning then of Christ's teaching on how our righteousness is to exceed, to go beyond, to be abundantly more than the righteousness of what? The scribes and Pharisees. He just got done saying we must exceed it. And we looked at certain ways in which we must exceed it. On a general scale, last time we looked at this passage. But Christ is now getting down to specific commandments, 6 in total. In the rest of this chapter of chapter 5, he goes through 6 commandments and shows how the righteousness of the Christian, the child of God, the kingdom of heaven, the inhabitants of that kingdom, must go beyond the scribes and Pharisees. So I want you and me as well to notice here this morning that Jesus is the true rabbi, the true teacher, that's what rabbi means, of the law. And the first thing about this is this. Jesus opposes the false rabbis, the false teachers of the law. Notice, if you will, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. We need to understand what this phrase means. You'll notice in your margin, if you have any marginal notes, that it could also be translated, ye have heard that it was said to them of old time. And that's fine. Either way is fine. In the Greek, you could translate it either way. So it's not just a matter of Greek here. We need to look at the context to see which way should we consider it. It could be by them of old time or to them of old time. Old time, you could also translate it ancients. That's what it means. People, the old people, the ancients. So did the ancients say something? Or was something said to the ancients? That's the question, really. If we go with what the margin says and to the ancients, you've heard it hath been said to those of old time or to the ancient people. Really, we're reduced, I think, to saying that this is Moses Moses said to the people, because what is he quoting? Thou shalt not kill. Who under God gave this commandment? Moses. Moses said to Israel, thou shalt not kill. If we take that though, being you heard what was said to them, it won't time to be that. So Moses, it seems that we would have to say that Christ is now completely turning around of what he just got done saying, especially in verse 17 and 19. He says, I'm not come to destroy the law of the prophets, right? I'm come to fulfill. He says in 19, you don't need to break one of these commandments, not even the least. Now he's saying, you've heard what, if this is the true thing, what Moses said, but I'm going to tell you something different. You see what I'm saying? If we see it as Moses speaking to the ancient people, then we're going to have to say that Christ is contradicting, or Christ is making himself to be at odds with Moses. And I don't think that's at all what Christ is doing here. So we take it how it reads here in our version, by them of old time. Then the ones saying the things are the teachers or the rabbis of the Jews. And this would agree with what Jesus has just told us. Again, he's come to not destroy. He's not coming to abolish. He's coming to fulfill. He's coming to bring into actuality what all the prophets in the law have prophesied and said. He's coming to keep the commandments of God. And not only so, he goes on to say what? We need to exceed the righteousness, the obedience of what the scribes and Pharisees tell you. So this flows right along then, as we said, being examples of what Christ means when he says, exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, the rabbis, the teachers of the Jews. You need to go beyond them. Jesus then is saying, this is what you've heard the rabbis to say about the law. They'll read this to you, and then this is their interpretation. This is their application. Their text is, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. That's what the teaching of the rabbis is. It's Moses clothed, as one man put it, with rabbinical teaching. It's not just Moses. You see the difference? Also, I noticed that in some scholars of the Hebrew people and the Talmud is just their written traditions, the things that Christ is referring to, many volumes of works. Some of the scholars that have been greatly interested in that and read in them that are Christians also noted this phrase, by them of old time, is found many times in the Talmud referring to their teachers. So even the Jews would have been familiar, most likely, with this phrase, and it would have struck, oh yes, that's what he's talking about. Our traditional Jewish interpretation. Our Talmud, if you will. Our teacher's ideas. This, then, is what Christ is opposing. Ye have heard what was said by them of old time. You've heard what your Jewish traditional interpretation is, and your applications. But I say unto you, he is here opposing their corruptions of the Old Testament, especially of the law here, by the rabbis. He's setting their authority on one side and his authority over here. He's saying, you've heard what your rabbis have said about this commandment, but I, as Christ, as the prophet, as the lawgiver myself, say this about it. So Christ is saying, you have heard what the rabbis say, but now hear what I say. Let us hear Jesus. Hear ye him. So Jesus here is opposing the rabbis, the teachers of the Jews, and their interpretation of the law. But secondly also, Jesus, as this true rabbi, gives us the right understanding of the law. Not only does he oppose those that are corrupting it, he offers the better way, the real way of understanding the law. Doesn't just leave us there, don't listen to them, but then what do we do listen to? He says, listen to me, I will show you the way. It's interesting, because when he comes in to speak of these different commandments, and he shows what the rabbis have said and taught in their traditions, and then what is the true meaning, what God really intended by these commandments, we can see the wisdom of his other statement that says, beware of the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. And the leaven, the doctrine, he goes on to explain to his apostles in that text in the Gospels there. It's the doctrine of the scribes and Pharisees. What was their doctrine that was so dangerous? And you notice it's leaven. You just need a little bit of it. A little bit of their doctrine. It can... You know how leaven does? It goes throughout the whole loaf. And it spreads throughout the whole thing. You get a little bit started. And it can spread through your whole understanding. Your whole doctrines yourselves. And be corrupted. One of their main points that we saw last time. We're looking at the exceeding righteousness the Christians are to have. Is that the Pharisees and the scribes, the rabbis. Christ says they do their righteousness to be seen of men. They want others to take note. They want the outside to appear good. They don't care so much what's on the inside. We can see this time and time again in these expositions of Christ here. Notice, if you will, how the rabbis interpreted this. How the Jewish tradition has it. In verse 21 it says, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. They limited it really to the letter. As long as you don't pick up the knife, or pick up the gun, and kill somebody, or run them over with a vehicle in our day, it's well, you're okay. But if you do that, then you're going to get in trouble with the authorities, the outward judgment seat, the council, the civil government. It's an outward, they limit it to the very outward action of actually putting someone to death, slaying them in some way, and then just the outward penalty of paying for it in this life. But notice how Christ takes it. He says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother, now that's inside, that's not taking the knife or the gun or whatever and killing someone. That's the root inside. Nobody can see that. Then you're in danger of the judgment. Then you're in danger of the council and beyond that of hellfire. You see, Christ goes down into this insides of our hearts and he says, what is your attitude to this commandment? This commandment just doesn't say, don't take your hand and kill someone. He says, don't let your heart hate that one to start with. The rabbis leave us with just inward wickedness and an outward form of goodness. What does Christ do? Jesus teaches us that the true intent of the law is to have the inside purged first. To apply really to Him. How do we get the inside? Hebrews tells us we need our hearts sprinkled clean by the blood of Jesus. Do you want your heart clean? Are you tired? And we're not going to go into this particular commandment today, so we're just going to mention broad strokes here. Are you tired of the anger in your heart? Do you have guilt because of the impure thoughts of your heart? Of the evil designs of your heart? Are you convicted that you don't love the Lord? You love other things instead of Him and before Him? You would rather serve yourself than others, and especially than serving God? Do we want to use others, whether it's our family or friends or strangers, to promote and make it easier on us? Or do we want to serve them instead? As Christ came, not to be served, but to serve. In other words, what is our heart? What is our heart? We don't just limit it to the letter, the outward performance of some duty. Let me say it, not to denigrate the letter. We don't know anything except the letters of this book about God. This is a precious book of letters, if we can put it that way. But the letter by itself does nobody any good. It must be accompanied by the Spirit, by faith, and by the blessing of God to profit us who read it and believe it. As we go through these commands of Christ, that He's doing these six commands and their applications and interpretations, as Christ frees them from this corruption that has been put on them by these Jewish teachers, we need to ask ourselves, each one of us, am I hungering and thirsting after righteousness in the inner man and the outer man? Or do I want to just kind of slip by or barely do enough so that others will think, oh, he's a pretty good Christian. He doesn't do this and doesn't do that. He does do that. Oh, but are we satisfied with that? Are we, like, we look at these Beatitudes, are we wanting to be pure in heart? Do we have the insides pure, looking to Jesus, desiring Him, desiring the things that please Him, and as we sang in Psalm 119, hating the evil way, because we're instructed out of this book. Where's our hearts? What is our attitude? Not just what's our action. Not just what is on the outside. But do we want our outside to be better? Let's come and deal with the heart. Christ said, do first what? Cleanse the inside. If you want to stop disobedience to your parents, to the authorities, if you want to stop gossiping, if you want to stop doing evil deeds of whatever they may be, you don't just, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to be nice now. I'm going to respect my parents. I'm going to do what the authorities say, or whatever. You go into the heart and say, what is my heart? Is it still uncleansed? Does it still have the sins there that have not been dealt with by the blood? That's where we start. And then Christ gives us the power to overcome the other sins that flow from the uncleansed heart. As we close, have we seen Christ then today as the prophet, as the great teacher, as our great Savior and prophet? Have we seen this as God's beloved Son to whom we must give our ear and our heart? Are we well pleased in Him as the Father is well pleased in Him? And so we will listen to Him. So we will say, I want to hear every time He says, but I say unto you, I'm interested in that. That is what I want to understand. I don't care what the unbelieving Jews and rabbis have said. I want to know what Christ, the Messiah, the Savior said. That's what I want to go with. Are we hearing Him today? Well, I trust that we will. And I trust that we do. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask Thee to remove from us this righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Lord, it's not just them. It is the natural bent of our hearts to seek to do those things that others can see, to have a form of goodness, of godliness, but have no real power in the heart. Lord, purge us, we pray, on the inside. Let us go and look for Christ's work in us, that we may, O God, then work for Christ ourselves. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.